What's up, everyone? It's Michael Scotto, HoopsHype.com's NBA writer and host of the Hoops Hype podcast. On today's episode, my co-host and our Hoops Hype salary cap expert, Yosi Goslin, is back in the saddle with me, and he joins me to break down the top headlines with NBA training camps starting across the league. Certainly an exciting time for fans, players, executives, and coaches as we get ready for the season to be underway before you know it. And Yosi, the first topic I want to discuss is probably the biggest elephant in the NBA room right now, and it's Ben Simmons for the Philadelphia 76ers. I spoke with one agent who reps a player on the 76ers over the weekend, and I think this guy hit the nail on the head. He said, if they can't figure it out, the season's over before it even starts. I agree, because Philly is a team that came into this year trying to contend for a championship and be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference with Joel Embiid in his prime. And it seems like as of right now, the best Philly can theoretically get for a win-now player in the short term would be a deal with Portland for CJ McCollum. But Philly's had their eye on Damian Lillard for a while, and they don't want to settle. You've written about Minnesota and the potential package that they can offer. They've been mentioned as a front runner, in a sense, in trying to pursue Ben Simmons. And Minnesota has plenty of intriguing first-round picks coming up they can offer, but that doesn't help Philly, who's trying to win now, while Joel Embiid is healthy. You know, Embiid's in the prime of his career at 27, and after years of trust in the process, it's not time to be taking a step back. And Simmons, he can guard all five positions, and he's an all-star caliber player, despite all his critics who point to his struggle shooting the ball, that he can't hit water if he fell out of a boat. But right now, Simmons is trying to force Philly's hand to give him what he wants, and he wants to avoid a James Harden situation like he did on the Rockets last year, where he had to play a few games before he was traded. I think it's a bad look for the NBA if this goes into the season, and the 76ers as well, with Simmons under contract for the next four seasons. So in an age where player empowerment has gotten more traction, this would add more wood to the fire, in my opinion.
Yeah, it feels like this case is really pushing the boundaries of what player empowerment could do to get players under contract moved or just get whatever they want done. And yeah, it feels like Philly is in a pretty bad spot. Yet I still don't see them doing a deal that they would consider settling. Now, I don't quite consider a deal like Minnesota one settling, where they get multiple first-round picks. I think you can look at that type of deal and consider it a deal that hopefully helps them achieve their goal of acquiring an all-star later. You kind of take a step back in the short term, and hopefully the guy you want becomes available. I just wonder what the offers right now really look like, because his value is supposedly very low, and I can't recall a player of his caliber holding out like NFL players before. Now, I'm glad you brought up James Harden, because even though Jimmy Butler and James Harden, for example, they made their big trade request, they still showed up and played for their teams a little bit. Now, I know Simmons has put a lot of pressure on the Sixers through the media. There were leaks that he did not want to meet with his teammates, and today it came out that he no longer wants to play with Embiid. But maybe he should show up to work and say some of those things himself to potentially expedite a trade. Harden got traded one day after saying that the Rockets weren't good enough during a post-game media. So maybe being physically present there to make the situation as uncomfortable as possible could potentially get a move faster. I don't know. But with that said, I agree with you. I feel the league will step in. I think they got to do something if Simmons is still on the roster to start the season and he doesn't show up. That would be a really bad precedent for the league. And I don't think they want one of their best players sitting out games, even if he's happily sacrificing money. Simmons stands to lose roughly $1 million for every five games he's going to miss. So we'll see just how long he can go doing this. But at the same time, as of now, it's hard to tell whether these are real threats or not. Either way, you wrote an article last year about how players need to get vicious if they when they want to make their trade requests. And it makes sense just to get these things out, be aggressive with, and he is being aggressive in his trade request, and that hopefully will get the ball moving. And we'll see. Maybe we'll get some answers on October 1st, in 2 days from now, or well, tomorrow, when the a day after tomorrow. That's when the Sixers owe him an $8 million advance payment. So maybe things could start moving then.
It's interesting because if you're a guy like Simmons, you could take a couple different paths here. One, you can sit out and take the fines. Two, you can do what Vince Carter did towards the end of his Toronto Raptors career, and you can just not give that much effort and be lackadaisical and make it pretty obvious that you're not in it. Or you could do what Harden did, crush it for a couple of games, and then say some stuff in the media and then show that you're a really good player still and maybe better than what people are giving you credit for. Because, man, people have been just dumping on this guy like a toilet. It's unbelievable for a guy that's been a multi-time all-star and in the mix for Defensive Player of the Year. But at the same time, you know, as you touched on, yes, I did previously write an article on Hoops Hype about how NBA players ask for trades behind the scenes. And I'll always remember, as one agent said best, it does get vicious. It's a divorce. And ultimately, that's what it is. And that's what Ben Simmons is trying to get here. He wants out, and it's going to get contentious before it gets any better. At this point, the way he's acting and moving doesn't seem like he wants a reconciliation. And so if that's the case, it's going to be interesting to see what comes to a head here. Is Philadelphia going to be able to find something that's good enough for them? Or is he going to balk on this and realize that the money is starting to eat away in his pocket? Time will tell on that. But, you know, it's Ben Simmons isn't the only guy that may or may not be available to his team looking ahead. You know, with the start of training camp and media day, we've seen Yossi, multiple players around the league talk about not being vaccinated. The two headliners there would be Andrew Wiggins on the Warriors and Jonathan Isaac on the Orlando Magic. You know, other players such as Kyrie Irving and Bradley Beal talked about wanting privacy on the matter. And, you know, that's okay. That's an interesting stance to take. Like, at the end of the day, if, you know, everybody seems to be getting the vaccine. So if you didn't have something to hide, I don't think you would go there. But regardless, you know, Beal touched on today, actually, at his media availability for the Wizards, that he said, quote, "I honestly can't get the vaccine because I just cleared my 60 days of having COVID." Now, you know, for Andrew Wiggins, he has been getting crushed on Twitter in particular. And I remember when I put out the report from the NBA's PR that, you know, Andrew Wiggins had to he didn't get his religious exemption granted. It was denied. And, you know, the mentions that were coming in for this guy was, I remember one guy, Kyle Sherwin, replied to me, "This is the first time Wiggins has ever actively tried to avoid taking a shot." as someone I know who's been around Wiggins for many years, you know, we were talking about what religious exemption, you know, he would apply for. And he had me roll it. He said, "The only thing he worships is Xbox." I lost it. I lost it. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Andrew Wiggins and Kyrie Irving are going to have interesting decisions to make, because in their state where they play, the rules are what they are. And for Wiggins, you know, that's a lot of money you'd be missing on not playing Warriors home games. And, you know, he's certainly been mentioned in trade talks, and it'll be interesting to see how this would affect his trade value. And for Kyrie Irving, you're potentially talking about, if he did not get the vaccine, you know, you could be talking like 43 missed games, because they also play two games at Madison Square Garden, which is also in New York. You know, if he, you know, you don't know yet if he's gonna,
potentially maybe the California.
Oh, those two. You're right. When they make the road trip,
I don't think there's any rule right now. It only concerns the home players, but I think they could rule later that road unvaccinated players might not be allowed to play either. So that would be an additional 8 games.
Yeah, and so now, you know, you've seen other teams, and today at media day, LeBron James talked about for the first time getting the vaccine and why he did it. I think certainly one of the most prominent figure in the NBA says that it might move the needle for some others who have not at this point. You know, most of the NBA, I think it's 90% has been vaccinated, the players. So they're certainly close to getting to as many people as possible. But, you know, that's what makes for those that who have not gotten vaccinated kind of stick out a little bit more. So it's going to be interesting to see if everybody can get cleared before the season starts for those group of guys in particular. And especially, you know, I don't want to leave out Jonathan Isaac as well, because Jonathan was coming off an injury riddled season previously, you know, and it'd be interesting to see him take a next step, the next step in his development. But you can't do that if you're not on the court. So time will tell with these guys.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're beyond the point of COVID vaccine skepticism. And I'll admit, I was a little skeptical when it first became available, but that lasted for like a week tops. And now I'm starting, as far as the NBA is concerned, it feels like this really is starting to affect, it's going to affect teams. Baxter Holmes of ESPN just released an article last night about tension being built up from teams and players against those few that are still unvaccinated. And look, health, we all know the health and safety reasons, but that aside, the possibility of missing games, as well as the internal conflict that could follow from all that, it could very well destroy a team's chances this season. I don't know how some of these guys had the confidence to go on Media Day and say some of the things they said yesterday. Mark Stein said it best. Media Day is supposed to carry an upbeat spirit, and yesterday's did not really do that. But this will be very interesting, because it's just really unprecedented where there are going to be teams with potentially players not being available for this very specific reason. And you got to imagine, like, there's going to be a lot of players on the team. I know a lot of them are saying publicly that they support their teammates' decisions, but once the season starts, I wonder just how that's going to carry over.
Yeah, and I'm curious, you know, I think you see some stuff on Twitter about Nemanja Bjelica telling Andrew Wiggins in the hallway, get the shot. I'm trying to remember who the gentleman was that tweeted it, but I think it was Dieter Kurtenbach from the San Jose Mercury News, if I'm not mistaken. But that was an interesting tweet to see. But yeah, it's like all these guys. Oh, no, go ahead, Yossi.
Oh, and then I don't know if you saw, there was a clip of Steph Curry. He was talking about, they're asking him about, you know, like how he feels that there might, you know, there's some players that could be unvaccinated. How would that, he seemed frustrated. He just, you know, he didn't get like, you know, too into it, but, you know, I could tell that some players are not, they're going to be very frustrated about this, if this is going to be a lingering issue going forward.
Yeah, well, first of all, they don't want to answer the questions about it every day, especially when it's for a teammate and they're doing what they've got to do. So I could certainly see that it becomes a distraction for the team in general. So yeah, these are all different variables here that are playing out. You know, it's interesting. Some of those, you know, obviously we're touching on Wiggins out on the West Coast. It's interesting. There was another comment that was made on Media Day that kind of caught my eye in particular, and I was a little bit surprised at who it came from. It was Zach Kleiman, the Memphis Grizzlies general manager, usually more of a quiet guy, but he said that Ja Morant will be an all-star this season. And, you know, I'm all about having confidence in your guy. And, you know, Ja told me in a recent interview on Hoopsite that His goals are to make the All-Star team and be an All-NBA player this season. And we touched on some other long-term goals that he's trying to get to. And, you know, in his eyes, he's a top five point guard in the NBA, as he told me on Hoopsite. But, you know, looking at the Western Conference, there are a lot of people. First of all, there are a couple of guards in the West who are going to be looking to earn their first All-Star honors. And beside John Morant, you got C.J. McCollum, you got De'Aaron Fox, and you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. On top of that, you've got potential All-Star guards in the West that would include Donovan Mitchell. Mike Conley got his first All-Star appearance last year. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Luka Doncic, depending on where he's listed in terms of his position, Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook is going to get a ton of support from Lakers fans that are voting, Stephen Curry, and by the way, don't forget about Klay Thompson. So that is going to be tough. You know, I like Ja Morant as a player. To me, his All-Star candidacy is going to be dependent upon how far Memphis can move up in the standings compared to last season. If he's a focal point of that, then he'll have a better case.
Yeah, I'm very high on Ja Morant. And to the first point, I think he can certainly elevate himself to the level of a top five point guard this year, if he's not already there. Now, with that said, I'm pretty confident he will be an All-Star this year. I'll even go as far as to say I think he will be an All-Star this year. Last year, there was a lot of heavy discussions on All-Star snubs, and a lot of it came about Western Conference guards. And this year shouldn't be any different. Now, assuming there's good health all around, we can shoe in. There's a good chance we could shoe in Steph and Luka as the starting guards again. Maybe Dame gets in the mix. There were four guard reserves selected last year in the West. So I think there's Dame, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker. Those are some heavy favorites in my opinion. And then after that, I think Ja Morant has a very strong case to join the likes of the group that I just mentioned, largely thanks to him leading the Grizzlies into the playoffs last year in that victory over the Warriors in the play-in. I think having that on his resume already puts him ahead of a lot of the other non-All-Star guards you just mentioned. And I think voters and those who select the reserves will have that in consideration. As long as he stays healthy and Memphis remains competitive like they have been in the past few years, and he shows another improvement statistically across the board, I think he will be an All-Star this year. Plus, look, everyone loves watching Ja Morant. Everyone. And I think everybody would want to see him in the All-Star game. His style is tailor-made for an All-Star game. He's just such an exciting guy to watch. The entertainment factor should definitely help this case, especially when you consider the combination of other All-Stars he could feed off of, such as Giannis and Zion.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, look, I was a little surprised to see like Zach Lyman put it out there a little bit, but I was also surprised to see Zion Williamson say he loves it. I love it here. I love the city of New Orleans. I don't want to be anywhere else, as our good friend Will Guillory tweeted at The Athletic. And, well, you know, listen, all due respect, keep this one under your hat, folks. But people also vow to love each other forever when they get married, and half of marriages end in divorce. So I'm not buying this one just yet. The real test will be when Zion is eligible for a contract extension and whether he signs it or not. For me, you know, there's been enough smoke, one, that would make Smokey the Bear very concerned, but two, that you don't really know for sure if Zion loves it as much as maybe he says he did on media day at training camp, because, you know, other than Brandon Ingram, you've got other young guys there. You're in a loaded Western Conference. You know, they make the move for Devontae Graham and they get Jonas Valanciunas. That should make them better on paper. But how much better are they going to be in that loaded Western Conference? We will see. You know, obviously years ago, Kristaps Porzingis threatened to take the qualifying offer and leave the Knicks. We are not at the point yet where that can be an option for Zion, but it's something to keep an eye on down the road. And most certainly, you know that the birds will be chirping and there will be some speculative stuff written about it until he's able to make that type of a decision for himself.
Yeah, I don't have too much to say on this one. I wrote a lot about the potential of a player like Zion accepting the qualifying offer a couple months ago. You could find that on Hoopsite. But, you know, just Zion just saying all the right things. You know, we're probably still a ways away from potentially discussing his future. But, yeah, I mean, Zion just saying the right things. He's just saying what he's got to say.
Yeah, well, I'll leave you with this, Yossi, on that topic. When Zion Williamson was at Duke and I posted a video on Twitter of him talking about playing with the Knicks and RJ Barrett, I guarantee you that is going to get quote tweeted and resurface a bunch leading up to that, because so many people would like this guy to end up going to the Knicks, and many fans, of course. But another young guy that really kind of made some headlines towards NBA Media Day was Michael Porter Jr., who extended with a max contract, a designated max contract with the Denver Nuggets. You know, these negotiations always seemed like they were headed towards that scenario. You know, no offense, but I'm sure the Orlando Magic, the Knicks, and the Clippers are kicking themselves for taking Mo Bamba, Kevin Knox, and Jerome Robinson over this guy. You know, I always wondered when the guy had a back surgery, and I understand that. I really do. It's a big injury, and to see him come this far in such a short time has been wonderful to see. There were a lot of concerns there. And, you know, my thing always was, if you were a team, this was a guy that coming out of high school before going to Missouri was a guy that many felt could be the number one pick. And, you know, if he didn't get hurt, he was going to be at that level. So I was a little surprised to see him go as low as he did and end up with the Denver Nuggets, who had a surplus of talent and could take the risk. Kudos to them. Worked out well. But boy, only imagine if that guy ended up with the Clippers instead of Jerome Robinson or the Knicks, you know, with Kevin Knox. But, you know, it doesn't matter at this point. You know, the shoulda, woulda, couldas don't count, as my dad used to say. So good for MPJ to get this extension.
Yeah, it's crazy how he fell into their laps in the draft. And the one that I always think about is the Clippers, because on one hand, him playing next to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George just seems so unfair. But on the other hand, I get the feeling that if they did take Michael Porter Jr., they might have traded him anyways to OKC as part of the Paul George trade. So, yeah, we'll guess we'll never know. I mean, as far as the extension goes, Denver had to max out him after maxing out Jamal Murray, in my opinion. Now, I think Murray's performance recently justifies his max contract, especially in the bubble. Personally, I just didn't think he was quite worthy of one at the time he signed it. With that said, though, I think MPJ has been just as good, if not better, than Jamal in his first 3 years. So they have to give it to him. Not that that's a bad deal for Michael Porter Jr. I think he's definitely worth it. And Denver now has three players on max contracts, and they're going to be luxury tax payers from here on out. And I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm extremely high on this Nuggets core. I expect them to win a championship soon. Michael Porter Jr. was asked today about it, and he said, he said something along the lines of, yeah, they're not paying us all this to not win a championship. And I think one is on the horizon. Had Murray not gotten injured this year, they very well could have been in the NBA Finals this past season. But again, yeah, I guess we'll never really know.
Look, Denver certainly has a lethal young core looking ahead. I think that it made all the sense in the world to lock it up. And you're going to have a nice 4 to 5 year window, you would think, where you're going to be a contender. So hopefully they can make the most of it. And you know what? You'll see a lot of teams are going to be hoping to make the most of this season coming up in with training camp now starting. So we'll see who can make some waves. Hopefully we'll have a good year ahead. It's an exciting time. And I certainly look forward to breaking it all down with you going forward.
Likewise, Mike. Can't wait to, it's going to be an exciting season. I can't wait to break it down with you every week going forward.
You know it. And on behalf of my colleague Yossi, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops High podcast with guest appearances from NBA players, coaches, executives, and media members, you can like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can also keep up with my tweets on Twitter, at Mike A. Scotto. Make sure you're following Yossi, too. He's at Yossi Goslin, YOSSIGOZLAN. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.